It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 34. We're going to begin reading with verse 17. It's kind of midstream there of a discussion that's going on, but that's where we're going to begin. Read to the end of the chapter. Genesis 34, verse 17. So if you'd please open your Bibles and we'll prepare for the study at that area of the Scripture. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And again, I hope that you enjoy the study. I hope that it's an opportunity and a wonderful time for you to see God's Word and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and come to grow in Him. We'll begin reading now, Genesis chapter 34, verse 17. But if ye will not hearken unto me to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city, and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son, and his son hearkened all that were out of the gate of his city. Every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simon and Levi, and his brethren, took each man his sword, and came into the city bodily, and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house, and went out. The sons of Jacob come upon the slain, and spoiled the city, because they had defiled their sister. And they took their sheep, and their oxen, and their asses, and, turn the page here, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and their wives, took they captive, and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simon and to Levi, Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And they said, Should we deal with our sister as with a harlot? Well, let's end the reading there and begin in prayer. Father, I thank you for the study of your precious word. Please that you will show us your way and give us your direction today. It's a wonderful opportunity we have to open your word and to study it. Father, please, let it touch our hearts. Let us stay with the truth and in the truth, Lord. It's so exciting, Lord, to be a child of God. Now, please, guide and lead us, teach us your way, and help us, show us that way, and that we may follow it. Now, touch our hearts, Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this beginning of the of the study today. Again, we kind of come midway. I will, as always, kind of back up here and we'll review just a little bit. Do you remember what has happened here? We have Dinah. She decides to go out and kind of check the city out, and said she wants to check and see what the daughters of the land are like. She found out what the men of the land were like. She was probably 15, 16 years old at the time, and so it was not a good idea for her to have went out. The permission of mother or father should not have ever been given. Maybe she snuck out. We're not sure what really took place here. But we do know that she went out and she decided to what we would call enjoy the world. Well, in doing so, she got herself in trouble. And we find that Shechem, and I guess I'm pronouncing that correctly, that's what we're going to call it today, Shechem, and he saw her and have taken her, laid with her. And so now no longer is Dinah a virgin, and now is everything is upset. We find that Shechem wants her, and Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. That's in verse 5 of chapter 34. Now his sons, they were all out in the field. Well, we know that out of the past study that Jacob waited. Again, Jacob, Israel. We need to kind of get the name over to Israel here. And we find that the sons were in the field, and Jacob waited for them to come back. And then about that time, we find that Hamor, Shechem's father, comes to Jacob, and they meet, and they begin to discuss what's going on here. And Hamor said that Shechem, my son, loves your daughter, and he would like to have her to be his wife. And so Hamor comes to Jacob asking for the hand. It's kind of after the fact here. It's a sad case, and we have so much of that today that nobody, everybody seems to think they have to live together first and see if they're compatible before they make any kind of a commitment. Many never make a commitment, and it's so sad today that lifestyle has been brought on, because it really has destroyed the home and the strength of the home, and it has also very much destroyed the church, because you see, the church will never be any stronger than the families that are within that church. And when this kind of a lifestyle is brought on with the families that are either in the church or coming into the church, you cannot expect the power of God to be there. And so, young lady, you stay pure, and you wait for that man been designed and created for you, and you wait for him. And young man, you do the same. You keep yourself pure until you find that bride, the one that is for you. Please that you do that. God will bless you for it and use you in a mighty way. Well, Dinah didn't follow that direction. Dinah decided to go check the town out. She said, I'm going to go out on the town tonight. Well, that's what's going to happen to you if you choose to go out on the town tonight. The same kind of situation, the potential is there, and that's what happened to Dinah. And so now that that's happened to Dinah, why, Jacob's angry. The sons of Jacob are angry, Dinah's brothers. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, he doesn't see anything that's really wrong here. But he is coming and saying, you know, this isn't a one-night stand. This is, Shechem loves Dinah, and he wants to marry her. What's it going to take to do that? And so they discuss some opportunities one way or the other. And, you know, I'll give you whatever you ask. I'll give you whatever you call for. Well, the sons of Jacob get involved here. And we find that down in verse 13. They are very angry with what's happened, and they should have been. But the problem was that they're doing something here that is done today, and that is that they're trying to make these people religious. If you'll be circumcised, then this will be fine. We'll agree to your terms, and we will give you our daughters, and you can give us your daughters, and we'll give us our sons, and you can give us your sons, and if we can get all this taken care of, everything will be fine if you join our religion. And you see that the boys did not see the God of Israel, and they saw a physical something that they did, and that was the circumcision. And today it's the same way. Today few call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart for that personal relationship. It's not a heart condition today in most churches. Today it is physical. It is, and that's the reason that some of these mega churches continue to get bigger and bigger. And if you have taken on some of the ways of the mega churches, I ask that you will stop. The music, get back to the old hymns that you need to, get back to the King James Bible that you need to, and will you lose people in that process? Yes, you will. I can guarantee you that a lot of the people that are attending your church today will be gone because you have stopped entertaining them and you have begun to do the things that God has you to do, and that is to teach His Word, teach it clearly, teach it simply, and waiting for the Spirit of God to move in your heart and to change you, save you, and bring you into a walk that's pleasing to God. And that's what the church's purpose is. The church's purpose is to feed the children of God. That's the purpose. The purpose of a believer is to go out with God's Word and share that Word and bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and then bring them to the church. That is the purpose, and the church is to feed them. Well, the church has become the evangelist. The church is the one that you the only thing people know to do is invite them to church. Well, in the process of that, why they come, and then all of a sudden now, why your church is half full of lost people. Well, that was never to be. The church, the term church, is only those born-again believers. And so we need to be as sheep. We need to go out and get sheep. We need to produce sheep. And please that we get that back in place. But let's get away from religion. There's been so many different styles and ways of religion that have duped people for years. And today that old devil knows that his time is short. And he is so busy at making what people think are improvements, because bringing people into the church, but they're all goats. They're not believers. They're all goats, and they're doing a religious act, and so it seems like that now everything is okay. Well, even the sons of Jacob followed after that, and they made this deal with the Hittites, if I remember right. Yes, this is the Hittites. That if you Hittites would be circumcised, then that'll make you the same as us and everything will be fine. Well, it's the same thing today. You know, if you come into the church, join the church, and are baptized, then everything is fine. No, it isn't. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ. And we need to get rid of this entertainment in our churches. And we need to get back to the Word of God. And if that means that you just have a handful of people that are coming to hear the Word of God, those are people that love the Word and desire to hear the Word. The rest of them, they were there to be entertained. And that is not a blessing to your church, even though maybe, preacher, your pocketbook is getting full and the numbers are great and the income is there and everything is finally like it should be. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Jesus Christ was hated when he was here, and people today don't like the truth. And so if you got one of these big mega churches, or you've went with that same form of religion to entertain, to whatever it takes to get the consumer in, if that's the principle you're after, the only way you can get that individual in is to preach the Word of God, watch them come by faith to Jesus Christ, and then you begin to feed them. Will that be popular? No, it won't. Will the people in your church like that? Probably not. And so you make a decision. If you want to be blessed by God or supposedly be blessed by man, that's a decision that you'll have to make. These people here, Jacob's sons, made a mistake because they decided that if this could be done, that would be just fine. Well, the sons of Jacob had some ulterior motives. The sons of the Hivites, they decided that was probably going to be fine. Hamor agreed to that. Shechem agreed to that. And then we have over here the discussion that's going on in verse 20. Let's see. Hamor and Shemech, his son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, "These men are peaceable with us," speaking of Jacob and his sons, "are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein, for the land, behold, is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only wherein all the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us." Unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city. Every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. Okay, now, it has taken place. What Jacob's sons required, and here sits Jacob. Jacob should have said, "No, we are not to be mixed with these people. We are a chosen people." But you see, this was just a young family. And as we said earlier, I think there's 70 souls that go down into Egypt here after just a little bit. And when that, so this is not a big people. And we find that Jacob was scared here in a little bit when Levi and Simeon took things into their own hands. And so they're very small. They followed the people. The Hivites followed this command and said, "That'll make us one people." Well, again, that's what people today, if you go down the street and if you would ask them, "Have you come by faith to Jesus Christ as your Savior?" They attend church every Sunday. "Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you asked Him into your heart?" And most people say yes. But then you ask them when. When did you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart? And my dear friend, when you meet the God that created this world, the God and Father that sent Jesus Christ here to die for us, when you meet His Son, Jesus Christ, you meet God, you will know it and you will remember that time. Most of the people do not have a time. It's just something they have always believed. Well, that is no personal relationship. I have always believed that Abraham Lincoln was the president of this land. I have always believed that. But you know what? I've never met that man. I never met him. It's just what I've read. Well, you see, different with God is that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, Abraham Lincoln went into that grave, and he's still in that grave. Jesus Christ went into that grave, and 3 days later he came out alive because he's God, and he's my Savior. And I need to come by faith to him, call upon him, ask him to come into my heart. And the day that I do that, it no longer is just something that I know about. I know him personally. He is my God, and he is my Savior, and he is my friend. because I know Jesus Christ. That's the relationship you need. That's the relationship that every one of these Hivites needed. Instead of that, the sons of Levi said, if you be circumcised, we be one. The Hivites, Hamor and Shechem, went to the people and said, if we get circumcised, we'll be as them. Everything will be equal. Won't that be great? Do you think you possess heaven? Do you think your sins are forgiven because you have belonged to a church all of your life and you've been baptized? Again, you've joined the church, you take the Lord's Supper, you do all those things, you work in the church. All these things. You may be so faithful and you may be so religious, but if you do not have the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have that personal relationship, you're going to die in your sin and you're going to go to the lake of fire. There is no choice about it. I don't care what church you belong to, and that is the same fact if you've come to this church and you attend this church and you've been baptized at this church and you have been faithful to this church and served in this church. If you've done all those things, but you have never come by faith to Jesus Christ, you are going to hell. So you see, it's not if you belong to this church that you're going to heaven. It's because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to heaven. These sons of Jacob, they did not understand. They saw the outward sign. Something was given to Abraham, on to Isaac, now on to Jacob and his sons. They have maintained that. But now they have learned that, well, as long as you do that, then you will become as us. Well, that was everything was agreeable. They did it. And we find now down here in the 24th verse, Hamor and unto Shechem his sons hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city. Every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of the city. It came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, the 3 days after they had had this circumcision, they were still very sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, came into the city boldly. These men, they were kind of hurting. They weren't up to full speed. And they went in and they slew all the males. You see, Jacob's sons were very, very angry about what Shechem had done to Hamor. Was this their motive from the very beginning? Was to get them into a weakened state so that they could go in and slaughter all the males? They slew Hamor, verse 26, and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword. They took Dinah out of Shechem's house. See where Dinah was at? And went out. The sons of Jacob come into the slain. The rest of the sons have come. Now, Simeon and Levi had done the dirty work of slaughtering them. But then the rest of the sons have come. And they saw what had happened. And were they sad and sorry and said, oh, what have they done? No, they just went in and spoiled the city. They took everything. They took the sheep and the oxen, the asses. They took everything. That which is in the city and that which was in the fields. They took it all their wealth, all their little ones, all their wives. They took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. Now Jacob said unto Simeon and to Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me, slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And then verse 31, but they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? That's what they felt like. That their sister, Dinah, in Shechem's eyes, was no different than a prostitute. They didn't see anything different there at all. It was no different. And so it just broke the heart of Jacob. Instead of letting what was done be resolved, instead of them going unto the God of Abraham and calling upon them for power and for strength, instead of that, here we have the sons of Jacob taking everything in their own hands and doing what made them feel good. So you see, their whole purpose of being one with us must have been a lie. Well, you're going to find out today, my friend, that if you're trusting that preacher, you're trusting a certain religion that you belong to save you and get you into the gates of heaven, but they do not preach to you the true salvation of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out the same thing, that you've been lied to. These sons of Jacob brought their religion into the land of the Hivites. They lied to them. That wasn't their mind at all. That wasn't their thought at all, that they would be one and be acceptable and be together. They had a motive, an ulterior motive. They were going to come in at their weakest time and kill them and destroy them. And you see, the old devil's going to do the same thing. The old devil, he's going to get you weak, because the only strength that we have is in and by Jesus Christ. So, if we come in and we take away and we become just religious, that's not going to make us one with God. And we're going to find out that the one that deceived us, the one that lied to us, is the devil himself. And he used men to do it. And there has been some great preachers today, according to the world, that have preached and preached and preached, and oh, they're such wonderful men of God. No, they're not. They are liars, and there's so many of them. There's more liars than there is ones that givers of the truth. And we need to see that we know the difference. We need to see that we do not become deceived by the tricks of the devil. And we have kind of a neat little picture here of how that old devil works. He come in there and he got these Hivites to be convinced that that was okay and you will become one. Well, just as soon as they had answered and did that and they became weak, then they were destroyed. And that's exactly what's going to happen to you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, but you have chosen another way other than the truth, and you like it, your ears are tickled, you can tap your foot, everything is just great, and the children, you know, I hear this all the time, my children, I have fought with them forever to go to church, but when we go there, where they got that Christian rock music, or we got that fancy music, and the preaching isn't very long, you know, and we've got all the lights and everything else that we have, then all of a sudden, my children want to come to church. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? Well, it would be if they wanted to go to a God-fearing, God-believing, gospel-preaching church. But you're going to nothing different than some old nightclub. You're being wined and dined by the world right inside what you call the church. I tell you what, it's not going to take much for the Antichrist to come in, because multitudes of people that I have known for years, thought would never ever fall into the trap that has been set today, have fallen. They have followed the ways of the world to build churches. We are to build churches by preaching the Word of God. We are to build churches by taking that Word out to the lost and dying world. and we need to speak it and speak it clearly. And then we need to bring them in and we need to teach them the truth. And again, by and through those sweet old hymns that we sing, and by and through the scripture, the old King James Bible, stay with it. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?